every Sunday morning, most everybody that is here is usually here. We always have a good attendance on Sunday morning. I want us today, and I'm sure that we always do this, but I want us today to really focus in on our worship with the hopes that this is not the only Sunday and the only way that we do this in order to focus in on our worship before God. But it really sets in our mind what we're coming here to do by the authority, by the will, and by the desire of the Lord. The first two aspects that I'm going to teach are going to be perspective beginning for next week. And then the other aspects that I will teach will be current for what is about to be done in this congregation. Let me just share that with you. Thoughtful worship begins with preparation and then participation. I can't, as you know, go back and prepare you for being here today. That was something that was your responsibility to do. But I want you to think about that thoughtful worship really starts with preparation. And I want to give you an attitude that is expressed by David when we look in the Psalms. First of all, the 119th Psalm in verse 62. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Same chapter, verses 147 and 148. I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. Chapter 122 and verse 1 of Psalms. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then in Psalm 84 and verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I'm not asking you to rise at midnight. I'm not asking you to rise at dawn. And the Lord is not doing that. But I think what the Lord expects is preparation of thought and mind and body to come together here this morning with the attitudes that are expressed by the Psalms, David in particular. That his mind was ever present on the Lord. He couldn't wait to come and serve his God. He made preparation for doing that, and it should be for us. That we do exactly the same thing. That this coming together this morning is not an afterthought. But it's something that we have intended to do, and it wasn't that our intention started when we got up this morning, but it's continually our intention to come and to serve God. We do that, of course, each and every day of our life, but we come together also today as the family of God, as brethren, to worship our God. And that preparation begins long before you get up on Sunday morning. It was pretty easy to do this morning with time falling back. We got an extra hour. Sometimes it jumps forward, makes it a little bit harder. But it's really not harder if our minds are in the right place. And so that's in the past. I couldn't prepare you for that this morning. Hopefully that is your attitude, that your thoughts are on the Lord and doing His will, and you purpose to be here, and you're fresh, and your mind is set on things of God. You're clearing your minds of things of this world and meditating upon what we read from in God's Word and the actions of worship that we are going to engage in are really meaningful. Not just going through the actions. Not going through the motions. But they're really meaningful in a spiritual way. Jesus made the statement to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, in John 4, chapter verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Anything other than that is not true worship. It's not true worship before God. Preparation and participation, it is to be with the classes that we had this morning. And wherever I think about that, again from the Psalms, 119 Psalm, verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, David said, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Same chapter, verse 34, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. who seek Him with their whole heart. We had preparation to make this morning before class. And to say, well, Garen's going to have all the answers, he's going to pop it on the board. That's my study. That's from my understanding. That belongs to me. I share it, but I want to hear what others have to say also that have prepared. And the preparation begins long before we get here. And it is with the attitude that is expressed by the psalmist, with the desire of God's word in mind and meditating upon that. And I think that we see intimated within the statements that David made here, not only the study of the word, but also application of the word in his life. And that's the way that it is to be for us. We can do all the study in the world. We can quote all the scriptures in the world, in the Bible. And if we don't make application, we've really done nothing. We've not really worshiped God properly. We've really not worshiped God properly. Again, this was in the past, but it's something that we need to make preparation for before we ever get here, before we wake up. It's not about leaving your material here at the building and then coming in. Well, I'll make preparation. I'll get here 10 minutes early, sit down. I'll grab that material and I'll start to make a few notes. That's not preparation, brethren. That's not preparation. Not the type that the Lord is looking for. And so that's in the past. But now we're going to be talking about the things that we do while we are here this morning. First of all, we're going to have a prayer in just a few moments. And I want you to look at the attitude that Paul expresses to those of Thessalonica in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. And we all understand he's not saying that we ignore people because we're always in prayer. We can't drive because we're always in prayer, because we're not paying attention to the road. We can't walk. We can't do our jobs because we're always in prayer. He's talking about a prayerful attitude. And that prayerful attitude that's being expressed here deals with humility. And it deals with recognition of the fact that we need help from our God. And we not only need help from Him, but we are blessed by Him because we have petitioned to Him as children of God. It is that attitude, that prayerful attitude of, I bow before the Father. And not only that, I think about my brethren. I think about my family. I think about others along with myself. But not about the things that I want, but about the things that I need. Maybe about the weaknesses that are in my life. I have that prayerful attitude. Again, in Psalm chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. It shows that humility and recognizing the awesome authority and preeminence of God. Chapter 116 of Psalm, verses 4 through 6. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. He recognized his powerless condition, except it be for God. In the 32nd Psalm, verses 4 through 7, my strength was completely drained, as moisture is dried up by the summer heat. Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you. And you forgave all my sins. So all your loyal people should pray to you in times of need. When a great flood of trouble comes rushing in, it will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will save me from trouble. I sing aloud of your salvation because you protect me. And our prayers need to be involved, not only as expressed here about ourselves, but also about others. We're going to have a prayer in just a moment by Brother Doyle Rogers. And I urge him to think about the announcements that were made this morning in aspect of his prayer, that we have those that are sick. We have one that is in the hospital. We have also means of reason to give thanks to God for this congregation that we have here, for the peace, for the harmony that is here, for the brotherly love that is present in this congregation. We give thanks to our God because He gave His only Son for us. We give thanks to our God because we can come and worship without fear of molestation, without the government putting us in jail. We can do that. We give thanks, we give supplication for those that are in need, we give praise to our God in our prayer. I ask Brother Doyle to do that now in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Our Lord God and Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before thee as upon bended knees, Father, thanking thee for this day of life that's been given to us. We thank thee for all the many blessings, the many things that you do for us each day, the things that we need to sustain ourselves here upon this earth. Father, we thank thee especially for your grace. We thank thee for Jesus, your only begotten Son that you sent here to this earth, that gives us hope and of an everlasting life with thee when this life on earth is over. Father, we thank thee for so many things that you do for us. We thank thee for the freedom that we have in this country. We'd ask that you be with the leaders of this country, that they might keep it free, that we might always have the privilege to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to study thy word, to even to say thy name in public without any kind of ridicule or from our government, that everything will be perfectly legal for us to do that. We know, Father, that we will have persecution from outsiders, but that's not a legal transition, and always have us the strength to know the difference and not let that bother us. Father, at this time, we thank thee for the privilege that we have assembling together as your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're sorrowful for the ones that of our number that are not able to be here. We have some that are traveling, and we pray that you be with them, that you watch over them, give them a safe journey, that they may be returned back to us. We pray, Father, for the elderly, for the ones that have trouble getting out, that cannot get out and make the assemblies. We pray that you'll comfort them and watch over. We pray, Father, for the one that is sick. We have one that's out of the hospital, that's in a rest home, and we pray especially for Ramona, that she may come back to her normal place in life and be back with us. We pray that you'll watch over her and keep her and bless the ones that are administered to her. Father, we thank you especially for the elders and the deacons of this congregation. We pray that you'll guide them and direct them to watch over us and keep us to in line, that we may always prepare ourselves and try to be better Christians in the future. We thank thee for Garen. We thank thee for the effort that he puts forth to bring these good lessons to us, that it will help us in our everyday walks of life, that we may be better examples with the people that we are around with daily, that we associate with. Father, we thank thee for this congregation, and we pray that you'll look down upon it and help us that we may grow in number if it be thy will. We pray especially that you'll help us to grow in spirit and to learn more of your will, that we may become lights of this community. Father, at this time, we'd ask that you look down upon us with your mercy, because we know that we have all fallen short of thy glory from day to day. We're only human, and we humbly ask that you look upon us with your mercy and forgive us our sins and our shortcomings as we recognize them and turn away from them, repent from them. Father, we're especially grateful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we will do so in a way that will be pleasing in thy sight, that we will remember the pain and the suffering that our Lord and Savior had to go through, that we could have redemption of our sins, and through that sacrifice that he made for us, we can have hope of an everlasting life with thee in heaven. Father, at this time, we ask you to listen to our prayer and heed our request. We ask these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Brother Doyle used the word "we" throughout that prayer. The reason he did that is that he recognized that the congregation had appointed him for that prayer this morning to direct them, to lead them in that prayer. And brethren, at the end of that prayer, because he is praying for us, if he has prayed in accordance with God's will, that prayer deserves an amen and a hearty one. And we need to do that. Brother Dole, thank you very much for that prayer. We're going to be having a scripture reading next. It should be that the men of this congregation, when they stand up to read the scriptures, recognize that it is an honor and a blessing to be able to open God's Word and to read the God-breathed words from the book. It was a few years ago that when people, it seems as though, had more interest in religious matters. And one thing they recognized about members of the Lord's body was that they are people of the book. And I'm sure it's happened to you, it's happened to me, there have been those of denominations that come upon a question that they couldn't quite understand, and I've received calls and have been asked, can you help us or help me with an understanding of this particular verse or passage? And I'm sure that's happened to you. And it should be that, because we are to be people of the book, but we are to have such a respect and recognize the honor of reading aloud God's Word before a congregation, because we are reading the words of God. They're not of our mind, but they are from God. I point you to a scripture that we're very familiar with, the 19th Psalm, verse 7 through 11. Matter of fact, there's a song that we have in connection with this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11 is not in the song that we sing, but we're going to include it in the reading here, the reading for our teaching. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The respect, the awesome aspect that is recognized by David the psalmist here of God's Word is to be seen when we open that book and we read aloud from that Word with the inflection of the meaning that is given, that we press the points that need to be made in that reading, because this is not just words on a paper. These are teachings that we receive from God. And every Sunday we have a scripture reading. And those that are called on to do that are given the high honor of reading the God-breathed words. We'll now have a scripture reading, the 86th Psalm, verses 1 through 12, and that will be by one of our elders, Brother Greg Stroud.
Psalms 86, verses 1 through 12. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servants who trust in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore.
I viewed 86 Psalms, 86 Psalm verse 1 through 12, as really a synopsis of one that is a follower of God and the proper attitude that we are to have in the supplications that we put before Him, in our worship and our service to Him, and what He has done for us, and also in the exaltation of His great and majestic name, because He is God. Oh God, you are my God. What grand words were just uttered that taught us an attitude and what it is to truly be a follower of God. And we appreciate that reading that was given. We appreciate that. So from this time forward, anyone that reads in this congregation aloud, let it be with the proper respect and the proper awe and the proper desire to hear what God has to say to us. We're going to be taking now the Lord's Supper in just a moment. When we do this, we are to remember the death of the Lord. And I've heard brethren say, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, remember His death, burial, and resurrection. No. We're remembering His death and the things that led to His death. That's what we're remembering. That which encompasses the death that Jesus made. I want to share some passages with you. And what we're doing right now is helping us prepare our minds. If this is the only preparation that you give partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, you're missing it. You're missing the purpose. But hopefully this will help as we look at Scripture. And hopefully this will be something that you do before you ever come here on Sunday morning. That you go back and you contemplate and meditate, yea, even read concerning what led to Jesus' death and His death upon the cross. Because that was done for you and me. We're to remember His death. While He was in the garden in the 26th chapter of Matthew, verse 40, and praying, He came to His disciples and found them sleeping, and He said to them, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour?" The Son of Man was about to go to His death. He was dying for the ones that He asked to go to the garden with Him, leaving 8 at the beginning part of that garden, but then taking 3 others a little bit deeper into that garden. But all of them were not watchful. None of them had the proper attitude of being watchful for not only their friend, but also for their master. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? What we're going to be seeing in just a moment from 1 Corinthians 11 chapter verse 16, verse 26 is that when we come together, we proclaim or show forth the Lord's death until He comes. We do that in partaking of the Lord's Supper, but it also is throughout our life, in the way that we live our life. And it starts with vigilance. That was Jesus had asked His disciples to do. When we come down to Matthew 26, verse 56, But all this had taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled, taken as a common criminal, in whom was no guile found in his mouth, in whom was no sin in his life. And he was taken as a common criminal, and his disciples fled for him, and the ones that fled from him were the ones he was dying for, not only them, but also for that group of men that came out against him. And we need to have in our mind, we must not flee from him. We must be vigilant. Chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 39 through 44. They passed by, they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroys the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. We will believe him." They lied. "He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. If you've looked at the travels of Jesus before his death, throughout Judea and Galilee, and you look at how much work that he did, I'm going to make a supposition that there were those in the crowd this day that were wagging their heads, mocking, casting ridicule upon him, that had seen his glorious works among them, yea, even some of them may have received the benefit of his glorious works, and they still did that. As he's hanging suspended above the ground, he was dying for them, and he died for us. Matthew 27, verse 12, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." There was no reason to give answer. How do you defend absolute purity, absolute innocence? And yet he knew for the purpose for which he came. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in Hebrews 10, verse 5, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me." He came for that very purpose, but the purpose was present because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. We have accountability in that. We have accountability in that. Luke 22, verse 63 and 64. "The men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" Look at the despicable treatment that they give our Lord. We are to remember his death. Matthew 27, 26. "They released Barabbas unto them. And when he was scourged, Jesus... When they scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be, they delivered him to be crucified. They took a known felon and put the innocent Son of God in his place. Why? For our salvation. Verses 28 through 30 of Matthew 27. "They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." The mockery of that worship that took place will turn into absolute true worship at some point in time, but it will be too late for those that do not come to the Lord. We see that expressed to us in Romans 14, chapter, verses 11 and 12. "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." Verse 12, "And everyone then shall give an account of himself to God." We need to give account as we live. We are to remember his death and the words that he made while on the cross leading up to his death. He doesn't think about himself, he thinks about others. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 43. "Today," he tells the thief, "you shall be with me in paradise." You see, still, he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of someone else that's in the same predicament that he is in, but yet helpless in his condition where Jesus was not, because all authority and power is given to him in heaven and earth. John chapter 19, 26 and 27, again, not thinking of himself. Woman, behold your son, he says to his mother. And then in care for her as he's hanging on the cross in pain and agony after that scourging, he tells John, behold your mother, you care for her. And the scripture goes on to tell us that from that hour he did. But again, Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. Matthew 27:46, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In which Jesus really never was forsaken by God, but yet in his condition, his flesh cries out as all flesh would cry out. Because he is hanging suspended above the earth in pain and sorrow and agony. And all of that for us. He cries out as all of us would cry out in this condition, I thirst. I thirst. Because he is not only fully God, he was fully human also. Then he says in John 19 and verse 30, it is finished. And in Luke 23 and verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished, he said. The reason, the purpose that I came, I'm completing this work, I'm fulfilling it. And so now, in me following what you gave me to do, I commend my spirit into your hands. And that is the way that we should be. In order to proclaim the Lord's death the way that we should. We will now remember and proclaim our Lord's death. To help us in our preparation of doing this, we're going to have a scripture reading by Brother Oscar Chicas. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 23 through 26. Following that, we're going to ask Brother Nathan Dial to lead song number 301, singing praise to the proclamation of our salvation made possible by Jesus Christ.
We will now read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God, bow with me, please. Father God, we come to you in prayer and give thanks for this opportunity that we have to remember our Savior and the sacrifice that was made for us. We thank you for this bread, and we ask that as we partake of it, that we realize what it signifies, Christ's body that was hung on the cross for our sins, for each and every one of us. We ask now that we may partake of it in a manner that's pleasing unto you, and that we continue to do so until we are with the Lord, or until he returns. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, we come before you now to ask your blessing on this, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed by your Son on the cross. May we remember his death, Father, and may we do so in a manner that's pleasing unto you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Number 301, number 301, redeemed. The memorial we have of Christ's death is a solemn and somber occasion, remembering the pain the sacrifice did for us, but it also gives us
sacrifice by that blood that we are redeemed. This is an energetic song, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem how I love to proclaim it, redeem by the blood of the Lamb, redeem for his infinite mercy, his child forever I am. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb, redeem, redeem, his child forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me salt in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his time forever I am.
your mind was not on what Jesus did for us while we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, it should be an indication that your heart is not right with the Lord. If the song that we sang was not with the fervor that thankfully our brother Nathan led that song with, our heart is not right with the Lord. We proclaim the Lord's death, not only in partaking that Lord's Supper, but that song sang to that purpose. And we should have been involved and engaged fully in our heart. We're going to sing some more songs now, and we're going to do it in accordance with the Lord's will. We'll have Brother Nathan sing a psalm for us, and it's going to be song number 10. And the meaning of that, of course, is self-evident. It is one of the psalms. And it's from the 19th psalm. And we read that verse earlier, but we're going to sing about it now also. We're going to ask him to lead us in a hymn, hymnos in the Greek, which is a song of praise, a sacred song. And that is going to be song number 198, exalted. Praising God, praising what he did for us. And then a spiritual song, pneumatikos, o day. The word spiritual does not occur in the Septuagint or in the Gospels. It is a word that came into being after Pentecost. Odes are songs relating to spiritual things in contradistinction from those which are sung in places of festivity and entertainment. We don't sing the blues. We don't sing country and western. We don't sing rock and roll. We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we're going to that spiritual song be song number 316, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory. And as we sing these songs, it's nice for us to be in harmony. But more important, we must be speaking the words and teaching one another and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we are directed to do. Let our mind be then with the meaning of those words more than the sounds of our voice. We do our best in both, but the important part is what we are singing. Brother Nathan.
Number 10, The Law of the Lord.
Of the Lord are true and right. 198 exalted. Or 198. Powerful king. It is a very intentionally spiritually minded message.
From my head.
Saying, I wonder if we think about that very much. But he's saying praises to his God. He did that after he instituted the supper. And if our minds were set on those songs that we sang, we did exactly as we were exhorted to do by Paul as he wrote to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. With respect of God's word, with thankfulness of the death that he accomplished, that exaltation of his deity, and the contemplation of what he means to us, those who are children of God. This sermon has not really been a usual sermon, but yet it should be the type of sermon I think that is needed, where we really contemplate on what we're doing in worship unto God. Whenever I go back and I look at some of the things that Jesus said, which is really, in this sense, a synopsis of the purpose that he came and the word that he left for us. Solomon said in the 23rd chapter in verse 12 of Proverbs, apply your heart to instruction, your ear to words of knowledge. That's what God's word is. He said in verse 19, hear my son and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Jesus spoke much in parables. But it's really about things that we all need. Even though he was speaking 2,000 years ago, they're still ever current. They're still ever fresh. He spoke the parable of the sower. That seed being the word of God and the sower that goes out to spread that word. And we are to be looking for receptive hearts and minds as children of God. That's our work. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. He gave them a parable of the weeds, making known to us in Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 24 through 30, that there will be a separation. And God recognizes separation even as time still exists. He knows those that are his. He knows those that are his. And that's exactly what Paul said to Timothy. He gave the parable of the mustard seed there in Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 31 through 33. And along with that thought, the rule of God is over all. And it would spread. And there would be those that would reject and kick and rebel against it. And there would be those that would come to it. But yet, no matter what, the rule of God is over all. He gave the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13, 45 through 46. Relationship with God through his rule is greater in value than all concerns that we have here upon this earth. We are to sell everything. We are to give up self and be God's. And then the parable of the net, there will be a judgment. Matthew 13, 47 through 50. Recognition of the fact that that will take place, that we are not here on our own, but that God is directing us and all in preparation for that judgment that is to come. And then he says in closing out these parables as he taught in Matthew 13, 51 through 52, he asked his disciples, have you understood all these things? They said, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained from the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Those that teach in this congregation, bring out some of the old things. Bring out some of the new things. Think about the synopsis of the teaching that Jesus gives in these parables here in Matthew the 13th chapter. Make application to that. Make preparation for it. Listen to sermons. Be ready. Be prepared as you come to hear God's word. And if whoever the preacher is teaching by God's word, what a blessing it is, because it's not his word that's being taught, it is God's. An invitation is going to be given as we usually do. is going to be to those that have not rendered obedience to their God. They're not children of God. They're not Christians. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 4 through 6, there needs to be an understanding first for you of the statement that Paul makes to Timothy concerning Christ Jesus, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due times. God is not looking to do you harm. In giving his son, he is looking to save your soul. That's his desire. That is what he wants. He wants you to be his child. So the call is made, Acts the third chapter in verse 19. Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, in obedience to God by a change of mind, turning and following him, naming the name of Christ, being obedient by baptism, you have then your sins blotted out. That's the time of refreshing, because what you receive then is life everlasting, salvation. Isn't that wonderful? That's what your God wants to do for you. Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, look carefully then how you walk after that, after becoming a child of God. It's not over. You just start the journey when you become a child of God. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You set out on a journey, but now not by yourself, not separate, now not lost, but with a loving God, a forgiving Savior, and brethren of like mind. If you're not a child of God, will you become one this morning? An invitation we also give to our brethren who might be in need of prayers. And we have a desire also by God that is given to us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Where we find ourselves failing to do the Lord's will, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we need to do is ask. We have a loving God, a forgiving Savior. 1 John 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10, all in connection with that judgment that is to come. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What a great day that will be for those that are children of God, that made preparation not only for Sunday morning, but for each and every day of their life, to give glory and praise to their God at the end. We'll now have a song of encouragement led by Brother Nathan. I'm going to ask you to stand during this song. It'll be song number 291, Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus, this is
Please be seated. That period of time that we gave as an invitation is never closed. It's not just here at this building. It's when one is convicted by the truth and understands their condition before God that there needs to be a change. Please keep that in mind. We're going to give now as we've been prospered. 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 13 and 14. And so, our God, we are giving you thanks and we are praising your wonderful name. But who am I and who are my people that we make such voluntary offerings as these? For all things come from you, and from your own hand we are giving to you. Our giving, and I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to those particularly that are members of this congregation, because we're not soliciting the funds of anyone else. It's for the members here. It is your responsibility. With this thought in mind, as presented here, what we give is not ours anyway. We give back to the Lord. Our giving needs to be with that thought in mind. Haggai, the second chapter in verse 8, the silver belongs to me, as does the gold, declares the Lord of the heavenly armies. It's mine. All we're doing is giving back to what God already owns. The attitude that David had in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter in verse 24, whenever Araunah, the king, offered him his oxen, the threshing floor, and all the implements of that threshing floor that was made of wood for David to make burnt sacrifice. And David said, I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God from things that do not cost me. His giving was sacrificial. And so on the first day of the week, each one of us come together as we've been prospered, and we give back to what God already owns. And we will do that at this time.
Pray with me, please. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have to come together and return a portion of what we have earned to you, Father. And may it go to help the work in this area and to further glorify your name. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We can go through the motions every Sunday. We can be present. Our minds may not be where they need to be. No one knows except God and you. We can be hearers of the word or doers of the word. We can thoughtfully worship God and please him. As the psalmist says, and I'll go down to Psalm 47, verse 17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Or God can be forgotten because in our minds we really were not focusing in on worshiping him. I ask you this morning, how have you worshiped your God and Savior this day? I want you to consider something. If you live to be 70 years old, you will spend 3 years in education. I'm not talking about first, second, and third grade. I'm talking about an actual study, an actual education. You'll spend 3 years. You'll spend 4 years in conversation, 5 years in travel, 6 years in eating, 8 years in amusement, 14 years in working, and 24 years in sleeping. If you live to be 70 years old, you're a child of God. If you attend services every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, and you spend 5 minutes every day in Bible study, you'll spend just 2 years in that entire life in serving God and studying his word. Do we really worship the way that we should and enough? And thanks unto God. We'll have closing comments now by our brother Darrell Glover. And then at the end of the service, we'll be led in prayer by Brother James Duvall. Let me just say, this entire service has been recorded. It'll be on our website. If you need help in preparation on Sundays, go to the website. Click that on. Brother Darrell.
I'm a guy that likes numbers. Well, I tell you what, I didn't realize that. 2 hours.
2 years.
2 years. That ain't nothing. Ain't nothing at all. Again, for those visiting with us, very happy you are here. Hope you'll come back. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 for worship, and we come back at 2 p.m. on Sunday evening. And we also meet on Wednesday evening at 7:30. Now, the reason we meet at 2 p.m. on Sunday, because it's convenient for our members here. Just to kind of give you a rundown, we have 3 families that live in Taylor. We have 2 families living in Elgin, 3 families living in Copeland, 3 families in the sticks towards Lexington, 1 family from Granger, 1 family from Pflugerville, and 3 families from Hutto. And our shut-ins, we have 1 from Thrall, 1 from Maynard, 2 from Hutto, and 1 from Pflugerville. So, once we make that travel here on Lord's Day morning, we usually go out to eat somewhere in town and come back here ready for a 2 p.m. service. So I encourage you all to be back at 2 p.m. Garen had a very good lesson. Should cause us all to think, participation, preparedness, and thoughtful worship. It should be that way all the time. We spoke of Psalms 119 before, but that is an amazing chapter in the Bible. It's the longest one in the Bible. Every verse is filled about writing about God's Word. I think it'd be good to turn to that chapter every now and then and at home and just read what the psalmist was thinking here. But looking at verses 1 through 6, it says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands." Verse 33, "Teach me, Lord, the ways of Your decrees, that I may follow it to the end." Verse 57, "You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey Your words." Verse 89, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." 97, "Oh, how I love Your law. I meditate on it all day long." Verse 129, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." The last verse, 176, "I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek Your servant, for I have not forgotten Your commands." I could have turned to or spoke of any verse in here, it would have talked about God's Word. It's very important that we know what it is that we obey. That's why He gave it to us. Thank you, Garen, for the lesson this morning. Thoughtful worship. God knows what's best for us. Let's do the things He asks. Well, I ask Brother James to dismiss us.
Oh, Lord, our God, Thou art truly righteousness. And because of Your mercy and Your goodness, we are able to come before Thy throne as Your children. And we ask Thee, Father, to please forgive us of our slothfulness, of our sometimes indifference in our approach to Your word.
And please, Father, may we encourage one another daily to turn to your word and to study it, to meditate upon it, to discuss it, and together praise thee and glorify thee. It's a very thankful, Father, for this refreshing that we've had this day. So very thankful for Garen and his working up this lesson, helping us, Father, to be of a more prepared mind to worship thee and serve thee at this hour. Please continue with us this day as we return for further services this evening. And help us that we may truly be prepared to once again glorify thee. For we do pray it in the name of your Son and our glorious, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.